If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Isaiah 30. That's where we'll be today. If you want a title for this message, it's a message of hope to a wayward nation. And it has to do with kind of my theme or feeling of what the Spirit of the Lord wants us to cover in the run-up to Pentecost, and it's the person, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so this is going to be connected to that. You'll see it in a moment. This prophecy could easily be applied to the United States because we're really running off the rails. It's happening as I speak. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the political similarities because I don't want to. But the focus is on the separation between two groups of people. And it's happening in the spirit. It's between the rebellious and the repentant. And so I said repentant, not righteous, because we've all been touched by the spirit of lawlessness that's just running through the land. I think like in Isaiah's day, Israel is being called to a practical righteousness that is lived out in our daily lives, our relationships, our ability to call others to this blessed repentance and restoration of our faith. I don't want to belabor that, but we have a theological righteousness. We've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. But God wants that to translate into our practical everyday experience. Somebody help me and say amen. So we'll get more into that as we go. But I'm not going to look at the whole chapter, but I would encourage you to read chapter 30. It's very powerful. It's very strong. I'm going to focus on three sets of scriptures that deal with kind of the theme of the chapter, and I'll let you read the rest on your own, because like I said, I don't think you guys want to be here till dinner. But it's a powerful chapter and it's worth studying. So the first is verses 1-3. Don't trust in Egypt, and Egypt is a type of this fallen world. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, who devise plans but not of my spirit, and they add sin to sin. So he's opening up and he's saying, and it's kind of that back to that practical Christianity where we can say that God's blessing our plans, or we can seek his plans. So it's his will, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is, and if not, God bless my plans and do whatever I want. Who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. So again, this is just a sampling of this prophetic word, and please read the whole chapter. But as we look forward to the Feast of Pentecost on May 28th, it's my desire to restore a high view, again, of the person, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to just keep hitting that theme. One of the things that happened yesterday when I was praying down here, how many of you guys remember Catherine Coleman? Probably a lot of you weren't alive when she went to be home with the Lord, but there was a time when she was speaking at the Mabee Center at ORU, and she's just looking straight up, and her face is just radiant, and her eyes are just beaming, and she's talking about the Holy Spirit. And you feel like she's looking at him while she's saying it. I mean, she was such an anointed lady, a weird lady, but such an anointed lady. I think God likes weird people. At least I'm hoping. But One of my great heroes in Scripture is John the Baptist. He's weird. He dresses weird. He eats really weird. He hangs out in the river, insults people, and they come to hear him. It makes no sense. But he's so anointed, it's just this prophetic anointing to prepare the way for Jesus, and it's so powerful. I just really sick. He prepared 30 years for 6 months of ministry. We prepare 6 months for 30 years of ministry. Maybe that's what's going wrong. But anyways, Israel was delivered from Egypt, Pharaoh, idolatry, and the most brutal form of slavery perhaps in human history, which lasted 400 years. And now they're feeling pressure from the Assyrians to the north, and they're ready to run back to Egypt. And I think the application for us is that we've been delivered from this world and all that is in it, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We've been delivered from the god of this world, the idolatry of selfishness and slavery to sin, which never says, I've had enough. But when we feel pressure, there's a temptation to go back. Don't do it. I think, like Israel, we are being pressured like never before in this country. It's a crime to have an opinion, but it's not a crime to commit a crime. Fear is winning over love. But the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. If you turn on the TV, it's all fear. I don't care if it's right or left. It's all fear. Fear, fear, fear. It's no good. Spirit of fear, go. Amen. It's time for us to defeat the enemy, not run to him for help. And that's what was happening with Israel. So many are in deep compromise with darkness, yet Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against us. Isn't that something? So how can fear be winning out over love when God is love? And how can the gates or the portals of hell be defeating the church? It's because we're trusting in the wrong things. Okay? So don't worry, it's a little rough to start with, but it's going to get better, all right? I think the trouble begins in the house of the Lord, not the White House. I really want to say more. Let me ask this question. This is a serious question. I'm kind of a goofy sort, but why are churches hosting drag shows? There's many of them. In Texas. The Holy Land. I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but you know what? They pick on California all the time, so. But can we acknowledge this, that biblical morality is clearly articulated in Scripture for every aspect of life? It's not a mystery you can read. Since we've all sinned, yes? The Bible says anyone who says he's without sin is a liar, so I don't want to add to my problems. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so we all benefit from the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Yes. Amen. Okay. Oh, I'm too silly today. We all benefit from the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Okay, Thomas, there you go. We cannot... Please hear this kindly. We cannot expect our civic leaders to uphold the truths of Scripture when we don't. Okay? So, please don't look back at your life before you met Jesus as if there's anything to return to. Egypt holds no joys. Pharaoh is not your friend. So let's cling to Jesus and his promises, right? Let's not return to the world, the flesh, and the devil as Israel was doing. And let's not trample underfoot the blood of Jesus by returning to our former lives. Let's remain in the faith. Second cluster of scriptures is verses 8 through 11. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. I remember when I first read this chapter years and years ago, I thought, how could a nation get there now that I'm living in it? So let's don't be among the rebellious who have heard the word and then harden their hearts to their own shame. When the prophets declare God's word, don't join in the cancel culture movement to tell them to shut up. Listen, even when it cuts like a sharp two-edged sword. Amen? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, yes? So the truth is at risk today like never before. There's some things that I'm really tired of. Maybe you guys are too. That's your truth. This is my truth. No, there's just the truth. Yes. And he's a person, Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is at risk today, yes? The law of the Lord is being rejected in churches as well. People say, well, I'm not under the law. What does that mean? So Paul's using that in the context as a means of salvation, not as I can go murder people. It's so, the Ten Commandments are still in play, yes? And Jesus said, if you follow me, you won't not only do it, you won't think about it. So I got to confess, that's a tough one, right? I always joke about being in traffic, but if people would just follow the traffic rules, I would be fine. I almost got hit the other day, somebody running a red light. And my first thought wasn't, oh, God bless you. That was like my third or fourth thought. So I know I'm not saved by the law, right? I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. But that doesn't mean I get to break it. So we need to believe in the word of the Lord. It is our tutor pointing us to Jesus. And it's still my tutor pointing me to Jesus after all these years. There's never going to be a point where I can say I'm without sin because John would call me a liar, 1 John. True? I'm not saying I'm out practicing it and out running around causing mayhem. I'm just saying I got a mind that still thinks a certain way at the wrong times. It just, don't look all holy at me. You guys do it too. Christians today don't tell the prophets to be quiet. They say there aren't any prophets. Most of the church is interested in prophets, but it's spelled P-R-O-F-I-T-S. We need prophets of the Lord. Yeah, there's plenty out there. Some of them are good and some of them are goofy. So one little red meat for you guys, piece of red meat. In 2012, the DNC removed God from their platform with shouts of affirmation. That was unbelievable. Their president declared, we are no longer a Christian nation. I don't think he had the right to do that, but okay, I'm going to stop. But we're in the same exact pattern of decline as Israel, but there's hope. Yes. Now we're done with the bad part, now to the good part. Now, I mean, it's hard when you hear ministers, I tune in online, I take a sampling online of different preachers teaching, and most of them are great, but some of them, they just say stuff, and you're just like, what? are you doing? Why don't you get a job in the grocery store and serve something people can actually eat? Just thinking out loud. So this is the message of hope. I'm just going to give you verses 15 and 18 through 21. It's just a sampling. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That's such a great verse. It goes on to say, but you wouldn't, but we're the ones that would, right? We're not going to reject the word of the Lord, yes? Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher shall not be moved into a corner anymore. This wording is so powerful. But your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Hearing from the Holy Spirit is not brought about by sweaty religious efforts. Somebody help me and say amen. Oh, I just got to try harder. And, you know, well, try all you want. We need the power of God. It begins when we learn in quiet confidence and believe that he, the Holy Spirit, desires to speak to us and speak through the scriptures, godly teachers, and speak directly to our hearts. There's three ways, I think, that he communicates with us. He speaks to us primarily through the scriptures as we read them. He speaks to us through godly teachers, and he speaks directly into our hearts. If you're listening, having the Holy Spirit in us gives us a great opportunity moment by moment to hear directly from him, yes? Listen to what Jesus said in John 10, 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice. We could stop there and say we had church. Isn't that true? When he's speaking, we hear him. So whenever you're reading in your New Testament and you see red letters, he's speaking to you, okay? But he also wants to speak into your hearts by his Spirit in you. Let me start again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I'll give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'll never leave you nor forsake you comes to mind, yes? There are some people that believe in eternal security in a way that no matter what, you can't lose your salvation. I don't think you can lose it, but I think you can forsake it. And I think there's a huge difference there. He's saying, no one else can pluck you out of my hand, but you can walk away. So don't. Just, so you got a tip today. Don't. I love that, he says. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That is so, oh, wow. So we have peace and security when we hear his voice. We have eternal security as long as we're in him. We don't have eternal insecurity where you got to come to church and get saved every Sunday, right? John 16, 13 through 15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Wow. That's just talking to all of us. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and will show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you, show it unto you. When Jesus walked this earth, he said, I only speak what I hear the Father speaking, and I only do what I see the Father doing. And now he's sending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is only speaking what Jesus is speaking and only doing what Jesus is doing, and he's in us for us to do that. If I only spoke what the Father was speaking or only spoke what I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, I would speak a lot less. Is that true? Yeah, thanks. So we could do this all day, this idea of hearing from God and speaking his word. God wants us to hear and confess. There are people that devise confessions and say, if you had enough faith, your confession would come to pass. But that's not how God set it up. God set it up for us to hear and then to confess what we hear, to confess his word, not just whatever we want. So that's just the balance for that. So the Lord is waiting for us to fully return to him so he can be gracious to us. Isn't that cool? And no matter what you're going through, he's always there with his hand outstretched to you in loving mercy and grace. So we are being awakened, yes? Not awokened. I really believe the woke movement is a false religion. It's not just a whatever. But it's a religious construct in which one infraction ends up in permanent banishment. The Lord is revealing to us so many great things, but look at what woke is doing. Woke is a graceless religion that denies Jesus while deifying self and at the same time claiming that we are slightly more evolved animals without intrinsic value. Woke has no hope, no grace, and no traditional Judeo-Christian mores. It's a mess. But it seems to be overrunning many things, especially the corporate world. I've read history. I'm a fan of history. I'm not a historian, but I'm a fan of history. And these kinds of things have come and gone. This will too, and we'll still be here. Might not be in this life, but we'll still be here. The word of the Lord stands forever. We're going to live forever with him. And it's going to be heaven because there's going to be no woke people there. So the idolatry of Israel's leaders, both political and religious, was choking the life out of the nation, which is not unlike our own. But God is seen with his hand of loving mercy and grace extended to all who will return to him. Woke people, transgender people, homosexual people, whatever people, whoever returns to him, he'll save. There's no exclusions. It's so incredible to me when people say, oh, you Christians are racist, you Christians are trans or phobic. What does that mean? I don't know I know what it means in actuality. I don't know what it means to them. I'm not afraid of anybody. I want everybody to get saved. And I'm not saying anybody else needs something I don't need, you know, because I needed it as much as worse than probably most of you. And to this day. So I think he's calling for a national reformation, right? Like the reformers in Europe 500 years ago. Like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. The Catholic Church was actually putting to death people that didn't agree with them. How many of you know that's not a good thing? I mean, goodness. The reformers had five solas. Sola means alone. Faith alone. And they're in this a prophecy of hope. Faith alone, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest you shall be saved, and in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. It makes no sense. It makes no sense for us to just trust in God that the outcome's going to be okay. We need to fight. We need to rally. We need to do all this stuff. No, we need to return to the Lord. Because the problems are too big for any political or any kind of solution right now. Second one is grace alone. So the first one is sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Isn't that, oh man, that is, people act like, oh, the Old Testament is just the law and the New Testament is grace. I mean, there's a lot of grace in the Old Testament. And therefore he will be exalted in that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him, for the people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you, and the sound of your cry, when he hears it, he will answer you. Wow, that is so cool. So this prophecy is filled with grace and justice. Grace without justice is licentious. If you don't know what that word means, take me out to coffee, I'll explain it to you. Grace and truth are the balance between mercy and justice. Because mercy and justice are so opposite. Mercy is like, oh, I just love you and I'm going to take you into myself. And justice is like, you blew it, you're done. But right in the middle of those two is grace and truth. The scripture says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. Scripture alone, sola scriptura. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers and your ears shall hear the word behind you saying, this is the way. Any Mandalorian fans out there? I just said. Okay, I heard three. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So, in leaner times, we have a tendency to pay more attention to God, yes? When all the bills are paid and there's money in the bank, it's all good, it's all good. Then all of a sudden, it's not all good. Oh, God, what are you saying? Because, well, I've been saying things the whole time, but you now you're paying attention. The meaning of bread of adversity and water of affliction is you have just enough to live on, but no extra. That's what we call the middle class today. So the five solas of the Reformers are scripture alone, Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, glory to God alone. And maybe it's time to revive those. I'm just going to close with a couple of verses for you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that cool? Here's another one. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I haven't found a part in the Bible where it says you're never going to go through anything. I've heard it in church, but I've never heard it from God's word. Don't worry, the rapture's going to come before anything bad happens. Too late. Right. So let me leave you with this. If you bow your heads. May the joyful expectation of Jesus fill your hearts and drive out all darkness, depression, and dread. God bless you.